Here so we can get going. This is the search for self-worth. The search for self-worth, part six. Now we've spent some time here, and I got a few more weeks to go because I want us to become whole. I want us to walk in the fullness. I'm telling you, I know it's hard. I know I used to be disappointed sometimes, you know, that we didn't have a whole lot of people that show up sometimes. But I really, the Lord kind of took that away from me. I don't really think about it anymore. But I know what's being preached, guys, and it is, it's so different. Okay. I don't even know how to go about it. Words are still coming, and you know, I hope I can make sentences out of it at some point. But I'm talking about us walking in wholeness, walking in fullness, becoming whole, growing up. Because I don't know if you guys have noticed or not, but the world around us is in not too good a shape. And I'll throw a whole lot of the church world in there. It's a mess. A lady was talking to Tracy Saturday, and she's leaving her denomination of 50, 60 years because they're going to be putting gays in the pulpits and they're going to be doing gay marriages and you know, all of that stuff. And she can't have it, and so she's leaving. I mean, and that's what the church has come to. You know, I mean, can you imagine that stuff? I'm just kind of blows my mind a little bit that we even have to have them conversations. You know what I mean? That. But anyway, last few weeks we've been talking about passing the buck. The denial. I just want to talk to you about it a little bit. Because I want us to see, man. And when I'm telling you about these things, I know it's me. Okay? Remember I said don't look at everybody else. Bring it right back into yourself. Y'all remember the brother and sister, two brothers and sister trio, the group called the Moses group, Moses and his older brother Aaron and their older sister Miriam, the Moses trio. Y'all remember them? Moses was the baby, right? Miriam, the older sister. Think of the brashness of Miriam. Miriam, she had the guts to go into Pharaoh's daughter and say, "Hey, I know a nurse." I mean, you don't go in and talk to the princes of Egypt like that. I mean, think about that. She's the very one that says, "Moses, think it's time for you to step down. Let us have a shot at this." You know. All she could sing and praise and dance. She had it going on. I mean, she led the women. Same one says, "Moses." Now, Aaron wasn't the, I don't know what you call it. Could you imagine being the older brother to Moses? I mean, you're supposed to be the leader of Moses, right? You're the older brother. And every time Moses opens his mouth, it's, "Thus saith the Lord." Kind of get on your nerves after a little while. You're like, "Man, I'm the older brother." And do you remember Moses? You know, he leads them out. only words Aaron ever got to say to Pharaoh was what Moses told him to say. You know, so he's probably got a little confidence problem. Moses and Joshua, they're up on the hill. He's up there about 6 weeks. Hey, Aaron, this would be a good shot for you to exercise your rights as CEO of this band for a little while. I mean, you know, come on. The people come to Aaron, they say, you know, Moses probably dead. Probably dead. We need a God to worship. He says, tell you what, y'all bring me your gold and stuff. We'll make us a God to worship. So they bring him the gold. He makes him a golden calf. And he says, these are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. I mean, can you see a people pleaser here? Can you see a giant people pleaser in Aaron? I mean, I just want you to get your wild look at all this other stuff. Aaron couldn't tell the people nothing except what they wanted to hear. He's a giant people pleaser. And because he was a people pleaser, cost a lot of people their lives. You know? Caused a lot of trouble in Egypt, or in Israel. A lot of trouble. And then here comes Moses back in, and Joshua, man, God tells him, I hear something going on in the camp. Get down there, see what's going on. I just love how he puts this. I'm in Exodus. Let me just read you a little bit. This is just a funny story. Moses said, I'm in Exodus 32, 21. Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people do that you brought this great sin upon them? What did these people, I mean, can you hear the language? What in the world could they have done to cause you to do this, Aaron? I mean, come on. I leave you alone for a little while. You didn't have to do a thing. And now what could they have done? What's his response? Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest this. What's he doing? Passing them up. You know these people. I mean, how could you be mad at me? You know this bunch of stiff-necked people we got out there won't listen to nothing. I mean, God can't even deal with them. I mean, you and me. I mean, good gosh. It's not my fault. They come to me and said, make us a God. And they brought me all their gold and silver. And I said, I don't know what you want me to do with all this stuff. I mean, I just put it in the fire. Out come a calf. I mean, you know, I just put it in the fire and out come. Do you see what's going on here with this denial? We deny all our problems that have risen because we're looking for a substitute for God's love. You know, all of our addictions, when I say all of our addictions, all the little stuff that we're addicted to are attempts to be God's substitutes. Only the love of God can satisfy that hunger. Only the Holy Spirit can stimulate our spirit. I mean, do you realize that only the Holy Spirit can stimulate our spirit and cause that hunger? And these addictions that people use, I mean, it's just to try and numb the pain of the emptiness they feel, the loneliness. I mean, there's nothing worse than feeling lonely, is there? I don't know if you guys ever experienced it before, but I mean, what is this drive? I mean, have you noticed this? I mean, we're just I think of girls, okay? girls start thinking of their wedding, I don't know what age, 2, 3. Men start thinking about it about 2 minutes ahead of time, maybe 6 weeks after the fact. What did I do? But I mean, have you ever, you know, I know women now, young ladies, you know, they're 15, they're 16. God help you if you get to be 22 or 23 years old, you're not married with 3 kids yet, you feel like I've done wasted my life. So then they run out and they jump in and end up getting with these stupid guys that ain't got a lick of sense and won't do nothing and don't work and would, you know what I mean? So we just keep creating mess on top of mess on top of mess. Because there's an emptiness in here. They don't know who they are. They feel like I've got to complete this thing. I mean, here, you know, I get this crazy picture of life, and here's what it is, so I've got to go over here and try to do this to make this picture complete. Instead of just waiting, letting the Lord, you know, until you really know who you are in the Lord, but again, up in the knowledge of the Lord and the fear of the Lord and the wisdom of the Lord anymore. So it's different. And see, our society has progressed so far away from that that we wonder why our society is like it is. And, you know, I've said this before, but it's like we're living in the same time that the apostles did. They lived at the end of the Roman Empire when everything was crumbling. It's kind of where we are. Everything is crumbling around us, and why wouldn't it be? You know? Only that unconditional love of God can fill that void. Just look at them golden calves. And I know we can look at it in so many different ways, but all the golden calves that we worship, you know what worship means? Worship means to bow down. Don't think about praising. Praise and worship is different. Worship means to bow down, to give place to. So we would rather worship our golden calves than deny the fact that we feel lonely, that we feel empty, that we feel hurt. We live the lie. Why do we live the lie? Because, I mean, I'm thinking everything's got to be godlike, godish. And if I say I'm lonely, if I say I'm hurt, then I'm admitting that I'm not a god, and I can't do that. And if you wonder why the world and all around us is in the shape it's in, I mean, why would it not be? Well, we've kicked God out of everything. I mean, really. I know God is there. Because we can't kick him out, but we do. You know, like he's in the church, but yet he stands on the outside and knocks. So we wonder why there's school shootings. Why would you think any different? What do you want in school, a metal detector or Jesus? You know, I'm just saying, you know. Somebody was telling me, or maybe one of y'all told me on Wednesday night they went somewhere to the VFW and they just took the Bible, the VA. No Bibles down there. If you want to read a Bible, you got to go ask because they don't put them out on the table. Remember everywhere you used to go, you see a Gideon Bible? Took them out. Now we're going to wonder why when we go to the VA things happen. Well, yeah, I know God's not in the Bible, but you see the principle behind it. We can't have that. So it's of the utmost importance, guys, for us to understand and get these things, because we're living in a crumbling society around us. And I mean, everything that can be shaken will. I mean, it's almost where you gotta... Well, we'll get to that other part. Churches are living in denial. They won't admit what's going on in their own church. So many times I just get these statements in my head. They believe they got to be like God. They believe they got to go please God, and they can make God proud of them. Look what I've done. You know, I know a guy who walks around Richlands talking about how many people he's gotten saved. Everywhere he goes, I mean, you hate to see him because, I mean, he just runs up to everybody. You saved, you know, if you're not, y'all going to hell. Turn or burn, yeah. And you know, because of these things, you realize, I'm just telling you where these things come from. In most churches, you're not allowed to admit that you're hurting. Not allowed to admit that you're lonely, that your life is a wreck. You know, I mean, we've been talking about those things. I mean, because we have this pride in us. I mean, I don't want to go to people and say, look, my leg's broke. I got no money coming in. I'm in a bad state right here. Except the Lord come in and help me out here. You know, I'm down and out. So how does it come across into the church? I need an unspoken prayer request. I can't really tell y'all what's going on. I got it to deny. I'm in need of prayer, but I don't, because if y'all really know what's going on, it'll be proof to you that I'm not a God and I don't have it all together. So I would really rather just say. Now I know people think, well, you don't really know what's going on. Well, I can tell you in this scripture right here that Peter says, there's nothing happened to you that isn't common to all of us. So if you think you got troubles, guess what? We're riding the same boat. We're riding in the same boat. And you know what? This is why prayers can come in and lift somebody else up. But because when you was, listen, Gene said it. Somebody was praying for her. Patty said it. Some grandma was praying for you 50 years ago before you even fell and broke your leg. Yes. A prayer was out there. Yes. And when the need arose, there it was. There it was. It's a house of prayer. It's a house of prayer. It's a house where I ought to be safe.
Yes.
Do you realize that? I ought to be safe.
Yes.
I feel like this is a place. I mean, I share about everything with you guys because I feel like it's a place where I can be safe. I can just come in and tell you. But sometimes it's pretty good. Sometimes it ain't. You know, I mean, I think sometimes people think, oh, well, it's a big, I think you guys know me well enough. You don't have to worry about that. Oh, here, the big pastor, he never messes up. That's silly. That's silly. I don't mess up as much as y'all. Yeah, I don't lie either. Let me give you an example. Let's say, I'm going to just kind of show you how this works a little bit. Let's say that we have a, let's say we come to church on Wednesday, okay? Come to church on Wednesday. And we come in and Here comes Tim, and Tim says something that just guts me, okay? I mean, I'm tore up. He's lashed out at me. I don't know what I did, but he lashes out at me. okay, and you know, now the service is, you know, I'm tore up. I can't even think or concentrate. So we leave. As Wednesday to Sunday comes around, I'm getting more angry and more hurt, and it's just built up in me. Well, it bothers Tim too, but Tim from a different view. So when I come to church on Sunday, Tim comes and says, "Brother Jim," he said, "I just got to tell you something. I'm sorry about what I said. I make no excuses. I was angry. I lashed out at you. I hurt you. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?" Now, me in my good churchy fashion, how do I respond? I say, "What are you talking about? You see what I mean?" He says, "Wednesday, what I said to you. I didn't mean, oh, that. It was nothing. Don't worry about it." Do you see what's happened here? I'm living in denial because I can't admit I got hurt because I'm supposed to be a God. Gods don't get hurt. Plus, Tim is coming to me wanting forgiveness, and I won't give it to him. Do you see? He's wanting release. That's what forgiveness is. He's coming and wanting release, and I won't give it to him because I'm living in denial. Do you see? I'll just give you an example of how these things work. And then what happens? What happens is, because I won't give him his forgiveness, now it starts to fester. And a year later, church splits. And people say, "Man, the devil must have got into that church up there." No. It all started with a small act. I stayed in denial. I wouldn't give forgiveness. It festered. Boom. Happens all the time, guys. It happens all the time because we live in denial. Because I can't say, "Yeah, you hurt me. Yeah, that hurt. But I forgive you. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins." You see what I mean? The blood of Jesus, the flow. And here it is. It's ever there, ever present. Help. You with me here? So if we don't learn how to walk and function in this thing, these things become Grand Canyons. Denial is the gospel of the darkness, if I could say it that way. It says if something hurts and you can't handle it, deny it. And people run into denial because they feel safe there. Because it's so common. It's the counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. And here's something I want you to understand this, guys. When you deny, you do receive strength. But it's a hideous strength. Okay? Remember, we were talking about power. Power. You receive a hideous strength because you receive a strength to survive in those situations that you ought to flee from. But did you just hear what I said? People receive a strength to stay in a hideous situation that they ought to flee from. I mean, loneliness, disappointment, loss comes in our life. Think about the guy that lost all that I told you he lost. And a hideous strength comes in, and you're able to stay there for 30 years. More. And I listen to this, and I have to be careful how I say this. I deny that I'm lonely. I deny that my heart is broken. I say Jesus is enough. Well, he is, but only when you let him be enough. And I can tell you this, if Jesus is going to come to you, most of the times he comes to you through other people. That's why we lay hands on one another. So, There's never this place where you're going to run off and live in a cave and be in a hermit. When I say I'm not lonely, I'm not hurt, I'm not disappointed, I've shut the door on Jesus. That hideous strength it's a strength to act lovingly to a people who abuse us. Physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, and we deny anything's wrong. You know how many people, and I know this to be true, how many people say, well, I can handle it. I mean, I can handle all the booze, I can handle all the drugs because my metabolism's different. Yeah, my metabolism's different. I'm not like yours. And that hideous strength fogs our mind. Remember we were talking about that a few weeks ago, that fog, that smoke. And in order to receive God's strength, I have to come out of that. And when I come out, guys, I come out, it looks empty. I don't know who Jesus is. I don't know who the Father is. I don't know if I can trust Him because all I know about is fear. And then I haven't done anything right. All I've ever done is wrong. It's why I'm in this situation. So why in the world am I going to run to Him when the church has told me, all they've told me is about judgment, 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 judgment. He'll get you. You did wrong yesterday, He'll get you. You know? I grew up in the adage of he'll beat you with many stripes. You come into the church and now you're double accountable. Many stripes. Well, heck, I'm still here with a few stripes because I ain't got much sense anyway. It ain't if I mess up, it's a matter of time. So if God's going to be whipping, I want to be in the few stripes line instead of the many stripes line. Right? I mean, that's... Because all he is judgment, judgment, judgment. I mean, look, don't love your kids too much. You might take them. Pitiful. So we're terrified either way we go. We're terrified in the darkness. We're terrified to come out of the darkness. What a mess we've got. So we try to create this fantasy world. Then we can go around like Aaron and try to be people pleasers. All of that, guys, is far below the standard, if you want to say that, what God has called us to. It's not trash can living. He didn't call us to live out of the trash can. I know a mentality of a people who, I guarantee it today, in their very church are saying, God, I hope you throw us some crumbs. God ain't a thrum crower. Crumb thrower. Whatever. See? I told you it's a matter of time. Yeah. I told you I'd mess it up.
That's for you a minute.
Yeah. I'm not good with those tongue twisters. What did I say? A thumb crower? Huh? Thumb crower?
It's like that busy time.
Yeah.
He might get it right up left.
Yeah. But you guys understand what I mean. And we're supposed to be pleased with eating off the floor. And I would say if I came to your house and you got kids and they're eating off the floor, you've got a dysfunctional house. Okay? You know, if you take the food and you throw it out into the floor and they're supposed to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. You got a dysfunctional house here. But it's this mentality that God is so great, and He is so great. And this is the greatness of it, that He's brought you to His very table. It's like Michelle Beth, the crippled that you are, the rebellion that you've lived in, and He's carried you to His table and said, you will ever eat here. this severed relationship. And yeah, we're saved, but we live in a time when the gospel is very inadequately preached. Very inadequately preached. You know, I mean, it's all how you think about this thing. And I know there's all these verses that he'll restore all the years that the cankerworm has taken. And you know, all of these, and people look at all these things, and I see their viewpoint, because I've been right there. They have God over here, they have me over here and all my loss. And God's going to come over here and give me back my cars and my house and all the clothes and put all the money back in the bank. And then I'm going to be right here and I'm going to say, thank you, God. Look, he's great. He restored all of my stuff. Thank you, God. Holler at you if I need you. Do you understand? You know? God, I'm over here and I got this great big old wall and I'm under a whole bunch of pressure. God, come over here and tear the wall down so I can get my breakthrough. All right, I got my breakthrough. Thank you, God. See you. I'll holler at you next time. See you next Sunday. You know? Or the gospel is preached with these absolutes. If you die today, where are you going to spend? I've been up there to the hospital. Tracy's brother was up there one time, and he's laying there and running some tests or something. Here comes this guy. Can I come in? Yeah, sure. Who are you? I just come in to see if you're saved. Because if you die on this table right now, where are you going to spend eternity? Well, heck. Where do I check? What do I got to say? Say this prayer. Repeat after me, right? I mean, don't we do? Say this magic prayer. I confess all my sins before you, Lord. Check. Here's your card. Here's your ticket. When the gospel train comes by, get on board. All right, let me write you down in my book. All right, I got you saved today, 12:35. You said the magic prayer. Boom. See you later. Right? Got you saved. See you later. I mean, you know, that's almost like saying, hey, had 27 kids. You know, hey, there's another kid. See ya. There's another kid. See ya. The gospel has to do with relationship, not destination. Hear that. I'm interested in you becoming a whole person. And listen, you know where that begins with? It begins with repentance. We're not denying these words repentance, but repentance ain't saying I did something wrong in 1980. I did something wrong in, you know, last week. I said something wrong today. Repentance is I am wrong. Do you understand? Me, I am wrong. I told you it's not a coming forward confessing a few sins. It's, you know, when you're on the wrong plane and you're supposed to be going to Phoenix and you're headed towards Tallahassee, everything about the plane is wrong. Everything, the meal's wrong, the passengers you're with are wrong, everything is wrong. The pilot's wrong, the direction's wrong, everything is wrong. True repentance, you can change planes in the air because of Christ. And guys, it doesn't happen all at once. This is the thing I want you to get. It doesn't happen. It takes a while. We deny our denials. It takes times. I mean, Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. And there's healing in His wings. Day after day, if I stay in the light, I see more and more and more. I see it more and more. There's the lie. There's the lie. I couldn't see it yesterday. I see it. I'm coming out. I'm moving. I know that I'm a new creation, but I'm moving into spiritual health, into spiritual fullness, physical, mental, emotional health. You know, I see these things more We got a yard that's got a bunch of trees in it, aggravating daggone things, leaves everywhere. Beautiful in the summertime, beautiful in the fall. By November, they ain't beautiful no more. Billion leaves all over the ground. Well, here we are, guys. And I want you to understand that. Think about all these leaves on the tree. And you know that when the frost comes, they start turning colors. And then, boom, they start to fall off. But you know, I can go out there in February, and there's still leaves on that tree. So what? The wind didn't get, the cold didn't get, they're still hanging on that tree. Do you realize that you and me still have those dead leaves hanging on us? That the wind didn't blow off, the frost didn't get? When do those leaves come off? As that new life starts to flow, it pushes out. Even that the wind didn't blow off. Even that the shaking, even that the frost didn't get, the wind, the new life comes and just pushes it right off. Let me just give you a couple quick scriptures here, and I'll be done. All this takes place by faith. Let me give you this over here. Because I told you it's a gospel here. Because we don't know who he is. I'm just trying to think how to word this. But in Hebrews 11, let me just read you a couple of verses. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. I want you to think of faith here as our response to God. Okay? Think of faith as our response to God. God has come at you saying, I love you. And he has shown that love in his blessed Son. Shown that love through the cross. Shown that love through the resurrection. Now it says in verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated. Now don't go off on a whole lot of crazy stuff right here. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He was not found because God translated him. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know what that word translated means? It means transferred. What does transfer mean? I mean, if I transfer money, I take it out of this account, put it in this account. Well, guess what, guys? You were in the kingdom of darkness. And you've been transferred into the kingdom of light. Are you with me here? And he had this testimony. Now, what did Enoch do? You guys, good Bible theologians, Bereans here, go look and see what Enoch did. He didn't build no great cities. He didn't do anything except one thing. He walked with God. That was it. I mean, I would have thought that Enoch would have been a great evangelist. He would have built great cities. He didn't even write a book. There's not one book in here that says the book of Enoch. But he had this testimony that it pleased God. And then here's the verse that I wanted to look at. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now see, we're out here trying to grasp for something, trying to do something that's pleasing to God, trying to conjure up that faith. But what does he say to you? Look at the whole thing. All I'm doing is responding to the love that God has given me. I'm coming out of the darkness. I'm coming out of the denial. I'm coming out of all of that mess. I'm just coming to God. I'm just coming to our Father. Because he loves me. And do you realize that is pleasing to God? Jesus said, I didn't come to be ministered to, but I come to minister. Can you imagine? It's pleasing to him to minister to you. That he doesn't stand there and say, oh my gosh, you did it again. Last verse right here, Matthew. Good old Matthew, chapter 18. I believe it's chapter 18. Chapter 12 or 18. This is when, remember when Jesus went in and the Pharisees are arguing back and forth and they got a man with a withered hand there. And Jesus heals that guy and he kind of looks at him in anger. And he says, if you got a donkey and he falls in the ditch, you know, would you not go get him? Well, this is that scene. And then it says Jesus goes out. Verse 15, but Jesus knew not, and he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. So he comes into the synagogues. They won't receive him in the synagogues. That was the church of the day. So he goes out, and a lot of people follows him out, and he begins to heal, and he begins to teach. And I love this right here. Verse 18, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Okay, you see, we got it right now. He's going to come. He's going to show judgment. He's going to show y'all bunch of heathen, y'all bunch of sinners, all y'all going to hell. And he's going to show y'all who's right and we're right and y'all are wrong. And this is it. Y'all going to get what y'all got coming to you. In verse 20, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, listen, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Guys, you realize that judgment is unto victory? Judgment means to make right. To make right. And I just want to throw this out to you. You ponder this. I got a man here that lost his $2 in a car wreck. What can make that right? I mean, you know it and I know it. Somebody's got to be raised up from the dead. Am I telling you the truth? There ain't nothing else going to cut it, is it? Nothing else is going to cut it. And you think I'm being silly about these things, but I'm going to tell you what, I can show you little stories in here about a widow woman lost her son. Jesus come, put his hands right on that funeral pyre, raised that son up, gave it right back to that woman. There was some shouting going on. He turned a funeral into the greatest praise service ever was. I read about these little women over here. Lost her son. God had promised her son, Elijah, lost her son and he died. And what happened? I mean, the whole story, we say, well, that means this, this means it. Let me tell you what it meant to that woman. What it meant to that woman was her son was back in her arms. Don't go off on all these other tangents with it. I'm talking about one, just like what Patty says, her grandma set up and she was alive. Her eyes were twitching. There's life there. There's life in you. The same spirit that did what?
Raised
Jesus from the dead. Lives in you. And we deny it. And we do all this other silly stuff. The same spirit raised Jesus. I don't know if you just get that sometimes. I see life, guys. I see life. I think the vision that Patty had, I see life. Set it up right in the midst of death. Right in the middle of Jesus preaching, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus couldn't get up and walk. The Spirit brought him to that very place, and he says, loose him and let him go. Guys, I believe that's where we're at. A great loosening, a great awakening.
Yes.
And it's happening in little people like Brother Billy. I wish y'all knew Brother Billy. And he says, I saw it. He loves you. That's all he got. He loves you. All the people saying, He loves me. The whole Bible, He loves me. Simple message. Well, you can go the other way. Mean old God. Jealous God. Kills babies because you love them too much. My goodness. I'm going to tell you something. Do you know, even in your wrong thinking, I'm going to tell you this. God has never left that man. Even in his wrong, stupid thinking, God has never left him. Because God made a promise. But he swore by himself because he could swear by no higher. I'll never leave you. I don't care where you go or what you do. If you make your bed in hell, I'll be there. Because I love you. And when you have these wrong thinking of me, I love you. And I will come. And the Gentiles, it says, will learn to trust in him. I didn't read that verse, but it says that the Gentiles will learn to trust in him because he will bring judgment unto victory. He will set right. Because he has shown up and says, look, you've had the wrong view. You've been scared of me. Look at me. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. Learn of me. He's good. He's good. Ever good. Ever loving with an unconditional love. Even as our twisted lives have brought about this mess that we live in, he's stronger than those principalities and those powers and all of that. Great are you, Lord. Yeah. I'll get out of the way.